Sister, I do realize that we are all here with serious challenges. We are going to be having network challenges quite soon because of load shedding. So I appeal to all the honorable members, honorable deputy minister and your delegation, that we keep our input short and that we try and complete this meeting as soon as possible whilst we still have a quorum. Right now we do have a quorum and we can proceed and start with the meeting. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I acknowledge the team that you have brought. I acknowledge General Sithole, the National Commissioner, all the Deputy National Commissioners and the different members of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable members, I would like to introduce the new member of our committee. It is Honorable Marekwa. And Honorable Marekwa, could you please just show your face so that members can see you and acknowledge you. You are welcome to the team. This is a very hardworking team. And we know that you will be a very good addition to the team. Honorable Marekwa has been
recording in progress.
Has been one of the deputy presidents of PopGuru and has a wealth of experience and information in the police sector. Honorable Marekwa, could we just see you for a brief moment, please? There you can see our beautiful addition to the team. My apologies to all those men. There's just women in this committee and the women remaining the majority. So I think you can give Honorable Marekwa a hand and a warm welcome. Welcome, Honorable Marekwa. Before I flight the agenda.
Welcome, Honorable Marekwa.
Honorable Peacock.
Welcome.
Malibongwe.
Igama la makosikazi.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Peacock, you're already starting with a very bad network. So I know we're going to all try and keep going as far as possible. Honorable Peacock has already sent an apology that she's struggling with her network. I am going to read the apologies. I have received apologies from the minister who is in cabinet, Honorable Molekwa, who will be attending the Portfolio Committee oversight visit, the public hearings of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. Honorable members, you would have noticed that the Home Affairs Portfolio Committee is doing a three-week public hearings process. So this should encourage us to do our oversight work at over a longer period of time. Honorable members, you would have noted now that we've got an Honorable Marekwa and a Molekwa. Please don't get those two confused. There's Honorable Marekwa and Molekwa. We've also have an apology from Honorable, I think it was Reverend Meshu, that he will be leaving early due to other committees. Before we start, may I also thank all those members who joined us on a very successful oversight visit. Thank the Deputy Minister and General Sithole, the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng, for their hard work, for sending us a very senior delegation, for ensuring that our oversight visit was a huge success. honorable members, we are planning an oversight visit for the next constituency period, and we'll be keeping you informed. Thank you very much to the staff for all your hard work. We have improved considerably since our last oversight visit, but there are still glitches and hiccups, and I'll be doing the housekeeping as we finish, because we first want to be doing our work. I don't need too much time. We don't want to lose our members. Honorable members, I am I've done the apologies. I've done the opening remarks. I'm not going to do matters arising. I'm just going to do the adoption of the agenda, and then I'll do the minutes. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the agenda, please?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption.
Honorable Thank you, Siabi. Honorable Wip. Thank you, Honorable Siabi. Do I have a seconder?
Peacock, second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peacock. Could we now go to the minutes, please? Could I start by page one of the minutes? Do you have any corrections? You can scroll down. Page one. Page two. Page two. Page three. You can go to page four. Thank you very much, honorable members. Do you have any corrections? Do you have any additions? I have the minutes presented to you. The minutes are before you. Honorable members, do I have a proposal for adoption?
Peacock proposes for adoption, Chair.
Peacock proposes adoption. Do I have a seconder?
Linda Moss, second it.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. Thank you, Honorable Members. The agenda is adopted. The minutes are adopted. We are not having long inputs today, and we'll keep all our inputs to a minimum. Honorable Deputy Minister and General Sotole, for the sake of load shedding, can you just not read everything on your presentation? We received your presentation, and we have read your presentation. I still want to take questions and answers. Honorable Deputy Minister, you can introduce your presentation. So we have seen the names. We have seen the names on the participants. We have 41 participants. So, Honorable Moss, can you please mute your mic? No disruptions in the meeting. Honorable Deputy Minister, you can introduce your team. And you can start your presentation. Don't give us the names of your team. We saw them all here. Honorable Groenewald, welcome. Honorable, I've seen Whitfield, Sheikh Imam, Ter Blanche, all our members, Shembeni. If I haven't mentioned your name, it's simply because as you move along, I will be doing so. Deputy Minister.
My apologies, I didn't realize I am muted. I'm sorry, Chair.
Thanks, I was just going to tell you now. Thanks, DM.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for this, and good morning to you and to committee members here. We will not take much of your time. I'll request the National Commissioner, General Stolle, to lead in the presentation together with the team. Over to you, General Stolle, if you may allow, Chair, through you.
Thank you very much,
DM for the lead. Good morning, Chair, and the honorable member. I think, Chair, I am then not going to introduce the team as you have indicated, but present is Deputy National Commissioners, Divisional Commissioners, and other relevant, that is, officers. Our presentations today, they are going to be led by both Major General Leon Rabi and the Lieutenant General Dimpane. It's a two-phase presentation. With your permission, Chair, I can give them the floor in that order. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sotole. You can hand over now. You may start.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable members of the committee, our Honourable Deputy Minister and the senior managers of the South African Police Service, the National Commissioner and the Deputy National Commissioners. Honourable Chair, as introduced, we will be focusing on the progress of what we've made with the implementation of the Post-Audit Action Plan. As the National Commissioner indicated, there will be two parts of the presentation of which I will deal with performance information, and General Dimpane will deal with the financial audit portion of the presentation. So as far as just brief some background, there was an increase in the number of material findings over the last two audit periods from 10 to 15, although the actual number of findings were less. We did receive an unqualified opinion, but linked to that, we had material findings. And in the previous financial year, the audit focused on program two. And just for the current audit that is being conducted, the focus is on programs two and three. That includes the investigation portion as well. And this post-audit action plan was developed to address the audit findings in the previous audit. Chair, we are monitoring a total, when it deals with the performance information portion, a total of 85 actions, of which 20 have been concluded and 65 is currently in progress. But I need to mention the ones in progress is because of the fact that they stretch throughout the audit period, and they do not necessarily mean that we have not yet addressed them. The first part, Chair, is what we've implemented is certain generic actions that talks to audit readiness and making sure that all environments are audit ready. And what we have already implemented is the relevance and viability of internal controls, where we made sure that all the internal controls were reviewed in terms of the requirements. And we are currently conducting periodic sampling of those as the audit proceeds to make sure that there is compliance and where deviations are then identified. And we have also identified a second or implemented a second effort to make sure that we address gaps that we've identified in the post-audit action plan. The reliability, accuracy, and completeness of information. Currently, what we do, Chair, we use two entities within SAPS, internal audit and the crime registrar, to assist us with focus audit and inspections to continuously validate the information that has been submitted and initiating interventions in those areas where problems are identified. And then also at the same time, internal audit is assisting with the auditing of the process, implementation of the post-audit action plan. As far as preparing for audit is concerned, Chair, we have received the audit strategy from internal, from AGSA. So we already commenced with the audits. We have our steering subcommittees at national level. We have steering committees at the divisional and provincial level as well. And we have communicated, we are aware of all the areas that will be audited, and where known, we have also then deployed task teams to make sure that audit locations are ready for audit. The audit currently, as the audit proceeds, we are currently attending all the opening and closing meetings, and we have had our preparatory sessions. The audit locations that are audited are required to provide us with audit readiness certificates, and as the audit proceeds in its current format, we make sure that management is present from both provincial and location level as we proceed with the audits. Then coming to the second part of the post-audit action plan on performance information, Chair, we are focusing on specific root causes. This is now informed by findings that were made within the visible policing or program two environment. So we have initiated certain actions to make sure
that in this specific environment that those root causes are addressed. So the key actions and the headings of the title or the headings of each one of the slides actually talks to the root causes that has been identified that needs to be addressed. On the first one, the understanding in terms of the interpretation of our performance measures. Honorable Chair, we currently have awareness sessions that are being conducted by the divisions that have been affected by the audit. We have also made sure that the performance agreements of the relevant managers at the relevant levels are including the issues that should be derived from the annual performance plan of the South African Police Service. We have concluded, we had a workshop on the audit analysis that has been concluded, the root causes has been identified. And following that, we have purified all the performance information, technical indicator descriptions to ensure that gaps that were identified in the audit has been addressed. The monitoring and quarterly monitoring of and reporting guidelines that has been introduced to all the provinces, they're specifically programmed too. They are currently busy with their provincial visits to conclude the process. And those areas where we have identified problems in terms of firearm recoveries and escapes, directives has been issued and is currently being communicated to address it. The functions of the divisional and provincial audit steering committees have been clearly defined. We have actually written the terms of reference for each one of these committees to make sure that they, their activities is in line with the requirements. As I already mentioned, the quarterly review sessions are conducted and the next one is upcoming in that specific environment. Practical guidelines, and that includes the national instruction, standard operating procedures, etc. Chair, the committee will note that this activity or these two activities has been concluded and we are currently in a process of implementing these directives. We have also the component or division visible policing and operations have also issued. You will see in the presentation, we make reference to a 318 directive dated the end of December, where specific guidelines were issued by the division to ensure that there's compliance at the relevant levels in terms of actions as well as certificates that need to be submitted. And currently, we are waiting for the compliance certificates from the provinces. The full assessment of the internal controls, so we have done that, as I've indicated. The current one that we are still in progress is the one that relates directly to crime indicators and the registration of crime. That is still some issues that we are addressing as far as that specific or that set of internal controls are concerned. The awareness, effective communication of the internal controls, the divisions involved are conducting their workshops, for examples, on the recovery of firearms and also the functionality of the relevant corporate systems to ensure that when actions are being captured on the systems that is done according to the specific internal controls and guidelines. We are currently busy with a process, Honorable Chair, to use our communication capabilities that we have, our TV monitors, our WhatsApps and SMSs to continuously communicate our awareness on the audit process itself, as well as the findings that were made and corrective measures that we need to be implemented. As far as non-compliance is concerned, there was a directive issued. I've already referred to that. The province and the division visible policing is currently waiting for the certificates on compliance to make sure that there's appropriate sanctions being implemented. We have also conducted investigations on the previous audit outcomes, and we have requested feedback on all of the disciplinary actions that we instituted. And we also investigated the matter whether there's intentional manipulation of crime, because that might constitute a criminal offense. That has been concluded. And just on that note, no evidence could be found, Honorable Chair, that there was deliberate manipulation of crime, you know, that affected our reporting on performance information. As far as the accountability is, we have communicated exactly what the accountability lines are. We have each one of the audit locations are currently submitting an audit readiness certificate to certify that they've done pre-audit visits, that they can certify, for instance, that the management information is accurate, valid, and complete, and is ready for audit by internal audit. We are activating the compliance board to address issues of serious non-compliance. That has been finalized. We are just currently waiting for the National Commissioner to appoint the compliance board chairperson and members of the committee. I've already addressed the remedial action and the consequent management chair with reference to the process that was initiated by Visible Policing, that where they are currently waiting for the outcomes and certificates. Clarification of the management roles and responsibilities. We had workshops in they had workshops in six of the provinces. They've developed exactly what the roles and responsibilities of management on the various levels are, and that has been communicated. And as I've already referred to the process, they are currently attending to the three outstanding provinces. The quick wins, Honourable Chair, the corporate system integration, one of the problems that contributed to the findings that has been made, SAPS has got a number of corporate systems, and we have identified in certain instances there are shortcomings on the corporate systems, either in one of two ways. The one is that it does not test the validity and accuracy of information, or there is not integration between the relevant systems. So currently we are busy with in technology management services, specifically on systems such as CAS, ICDMS, our provisional administration systems, etc. Also the enhanced firearm control system, etc., where we want to make sure that those systems have the necessary capability to identify potential gaps in recording, but also at the same time that we establish linkages between systems to draw data from other systems, for instance, into CAS ICDMS. The data sets, Honorable Chair, we have put measures in place. We are currently with TMS looking at the effective flow of data that we get from CETA. We are dependent on CETA for the purpose of providing the department with data sets on all our transactions, because normally those are not day-to-day functions that we have access to. But we are looking at the Management Information Center at CETA to expedite that process. And then in the Strategic Management Office, we have established a SharePoint database where we upload all the data sets that we receive to make sure that it's accessible to both AGSA and to our audit locations. The systems, we are also developing, Honorable Chair, the annual performance monitoring system of SAPS through CETA. We are currently undergoing the testing. We have submitted certain enhancements that had to be done. We have also requested that certain registers be systemized or digitalized. Unfortunately, in a number of environments, keeping in mind, Chair, that we have 15 business units reporting on performance information, and some of these transactions are quite a numbers. We are talking, for instance, on contact crime, about 500,000 plus transactions per annum. And in some instances, we still are dependent on manual systems for the purpose of reporting. So we are busy with TMS and organizational development to see which of these systems can be digitalized so that we have more accurate in-time information available and not dependent on manual systems. Another issue that was identified here was the rotation of personnel, where it is a policy that has been implemented by the organization that allows for the rotation of personnel, etc. But one of the unintended consequences associated with that is that from time to time, people with the necessary skills and competencies are then being rotated. So we are currently sensitizing management to make sure that where the principle of rotation is applied, that we make sure that the people coming in have the necessary skills and competencies to perform the tasks. The post-audit action plan, Honorable Chair, we do submit our monthly reports to both yourself and the audit committee, and it's also currently being audited by internal audit. And we have also looked at the fact, Honorable Chair, hopefully you will recall that previously in my presentation, I referred to audit readiness certificates. We are currently looking at the legality of that specific process and whether people can or should be held accountable for the fact when they certify a audit location as ready, certifying that the necessary assessments have been done, but then we still have findings as far as that is concerned. We have also established a database with all the findings from internal and external assurance providers, and also looking at findings that are made from the inspectorate environment. As far as the that specific audit history is concerned, Chair, we have indicated that we have assessed the last 3 years, the audit reports, the inspection reports, etc., to determine the generic root causes that are contributing to audit findings. We have established nodal points at all the audit locations and the business units that are being audited. And we have also activated, as I referred to earlier, our divisional audit steering committees and provincial audit steering committees in the provinces. Just for interest's sake, all 9 provinces from both program 2 and 3, all 9 provinces are normally audited during an audit cycle. As far as the repeat contributors, we've already referred to that. That formed the basis of the audit post-audit action plan, where the actions that we are currently taking is being informed by those specific root causes contributing and those specific areas where we have repeat audit findings. We are also, Chair, looking at, we are currently busy with human resource management to look at the impact of audit outcomes on the assessment of individuals to make sure that where we have repeat audit findings and negative or an increase in audit findings, that the managers in those respective environments are appropriately addressed. And for instance, also then looking at the value and the weight that is associated with audit findings when we look at the assessment of individuals. So that is very brief what is currently happening as far as the performance in information environment is concerned. We are currently in the middle of or very close to the end of the interim audit. What we see is there is improvement in terms of the visible policing environment program too. And but we now noted that the new programs that has not been audited in the past 2 years, that we see new emerging findings in that environment. And unfortunately, we are still noting certain repeat findings, which we are attending to. We are, for instance, on this area, we're having audit steering committee on performance information tomorrow, to get progress on the current audit and then to get feedback from the respective business units on findings that has been made as well as the materiality thereof. Chair, this slide, I just want to give an update because this there's been some updates as far as slide 27 is concerned. The audit locations as on 4 March, we have dealt with 12 out of the 18. There's 6 that still needs to be audited before the end of the financial year. As far as the communication, the COMAFs, those are your communication of findings. We are receiving 20 of communication of findings. We have already received 9, to which we are currently responding. We have received 20 requests for information to which we have responded. And currently, there's 6 of the COMAFs responses that has been submitted to AGSA. And we have received auditors' conclusions on 3 of those from Mpumalanga, Free State, and the Northwest. And this will then interrogate it and assess during tomorrow's meeting of the steering committee. Honorable Chair, with your permission, I will then now hand over to General Dimpane to deal with the second part of the presentation that deals with the financial audit. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, General Rabi, for that section. Honorable members, will continue immediately to section 2, and I'll ask General Dimpane to start immediately with section 2. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to the Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Committee members, our Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, and all the senior management of the sub. Chair, in terms of the post-audit actions in the financial audit, we are tracking 76 actions, and up to so far, 60 of those 76 have been completed, and we are having 16 actions that are in progress. In the next slide, Chair, we just wanted to highlight that we are having 8 actions in supply chain management. These actions are related to asset management. There is still in progress. There is one action surrounding supply chain again on procurement and contract management. It's still in progress. We have 3 actions that are still in progress within corporate support. That will be your heritage assets, your network assets within the TMS environment. We've got 2 that are still in progress, with 2 still in progress within the legal services environment. Chairperson, in terms of the status in the next slide, as I indicated, within supply chain management, we had 4 findings which related to the movement in the asset register, which did not reconcile to source documents. We had 12 action steps, which is 97 completed up to so far, with the remaining 3% envisaged to be completed on the 31st of March. The 3% that is remaining, Chairperson, is mainly on the related to the system updates, but we envisage that this system update would have been completed by the 31st of March. Still on asset management, 2 findings which related to minor asset register, which needed to be verified. We had 12 action steps, of which 99% has been completed. This 1% that is remaining is as a result of the user acceptance testing to be finalized during March. This also relates to the system updates that supply chain management is currently finalizing and working on. In the next slide, still on asset management, we also had 2 findings which related to assets not recorded on the asset register. This was during the completeness testing by AGSA. There were 4 action steps, which is 95% completed. The remaining 5% is as a result of an investigation that has been requested to be conducted by organizational development in respect of barcoding. Still on asset management, we are having 1 finding on heritage assets, where the finding related to an incomplete asset register and valuation. We had 3 action steps still in progress, which then 45% was completed. This remaining 55% will be completed upon conclusion of edit process that we are currently embarking on as the department. In the next slide, we have supply chain finding in terms of disclosure of operating leases. This finding in terms of the actions, we are 99%. The remaining 1% is as a result of the user acceptance testing to be finalized during the week of March 2022. This chairperson also relates to the system updates. What we have decided as we dealt with this action was to, rather than look into automating most of these actions, and it necessitated us to then request a system update in terms of our asset register. Within the supply chain, we had procurement-related findings. We had 2 that were related to subcontracting as well as local content. The one that relates to subcontracting was as a result of about 6 bids that, when they were interrogated, it was found that the conditions that we are supposed to specify on the tendering processes that successful bidders must subcontract at a minimum of 6%, it was found that that was not done. In terms of local content, it was 1 finding that was found in Limpopo, where the quotations did not specify that the tender, the conditions on the tender that only locally produced goods must be sourced. We then put 10 actions in place to deal with this particular procurement related findings. Those 10 actions have been completed. They include actions such as interventions held in provinces, follow-ups and assistance from the division supply chain management rendered to provinces, review of circulars and issuing of circulars, as well as workshops and consequence management, where it was found that members were non-compliant and they were negligent in terms of their duties. Then we also had 15 other non-compliance findings on contract and bid management. So these interventions that we did as a department, touched on all this non-compliance in terms of the procurement environment as well as contract management. Training was provided, workshops were provided to all divisions as well as provinces in this regard. So those actions, all of them have been completed with national circulars as well as instructions reissued to all of us in the department. We also had one finding on irregular expenditure, which was long outstanding. In terms of investigations, the division supply chain management embarked on an intervention in all provinces where we interrogated all these outstanding transactions, and interventions were concluded up to so far. We were left with KZN where we need them to conclude the interventions as well as to close these long outstanding investigations, Jefferson. In terms of slide 34, the findings were in the main in the environment of TMS. Chairperson and the committee will recall that we were struggling with the qualification in this area of network assets. So in the main, during the interim audit, Chairperson, we then reviewed completely our asset register assisted by AGSA. The action steps that are completed were completed during the interim audit and they were cleared by AGSA. Hence, we managed to obtain an unqualified audit opinion. So as and when we submitted our register, those that were picked up included discrepancies of the network asset register and supporting documents on our past register. Those discrepancies were highlighted to us. We rectified them on the spot. So during the final audit, these were rectified. We had findings such as components incorrectly disclosed as assets under investigation. Now, on this one, we had five action steps which we needed to deal with, of which 90% is completed. We are having 10% as a result of a forensic internal audit that we have functioned as subs management in this regard. There were other components that could not be found. We then sanctioned an investigation. It is progressing. We are envisaging to receive a report very soon so that we can have an understanding as to what has happened to these components or these assets that could not be found when we did our complete review of this area. We also had findings such as assets that could not be traced back to the asset register, assets not correctly valued due to incorrect debt capitalization. As I indicated, these were during the interim audit, we rectified them and eventually our register was cleared and we managed to resolve this qualification area. We had other findings where we were not picked up by AG, we were picked up by ourselves and we said, we are going to follow up this and rectify so that then we prevent reoccurrence of this. We are looking at the management and control of subs network assets. We have had engagements with CETA. We are still proceeding. We envisage that decisions as well as these actions will be completed by 31st March in terms of how and who should control these subs network assets. So that particular progress is continuing and we believe that by the 31st of March, we would have concluded this particular matter. We also had on slide 35 findings within legal services. We had contingent liabilities not completely recorded in the accounting records. We had one action step that we needed to conclude. It is 92% completed. The remaining 8% relates to the last quarter certification, which will be concluded by the 31st of March. We don't envisage any problems there, Chairperson. Understatement of contingent liabilities resulting from negative amounts was also another finding. We had one action step, which is 95% complete, with the remaining 5% relating to the last quarter, which is a visit to the Northwest as well as Eastern Cape, and a final reconciliation by provinces, which we have instructed that by the 15th of March, this must have been completed. And we will then sign off on the 31st of March. All these transactions are taking place in provinces. Hence, our action plan, we then said, as national, we will have to then intervene, go to these provinces, do workshops, train, and also assist provinces and intervene so that at conclusion of the financial statements for this year, all these findings have been concluded and resolved. We had contingent liability schedules overstated with the provision claims. Those action steps had been concluded. They included actions such as issuing of directive reviewing of systems, as well as interventions and forums that we called all provinces to explain and intervene and train where there was a need for us to train. So in terms of the last three, all these actions have been completed. Chairperson, in terms of slide 36, we had findings that related to the risk and integrity management environment as well as HRM. In the main, there were findings where it was picked up that we are having members of the police that are owning taxis, and we had employees doing business with the state. We had actions for the first one, which included us engaging with the National Department of Transport, purification of databases, investigations, and consequence management where there was a need. All those actions have been completed, Chairperson. In terms of employees doing business with the state, we also have identified the need for us to engage with other state departments such as EPSA, Treasury, and to also enhance our disclosure forms, where members will then, upon employment, will be forced to disclose whether they are doing any business with the state. Those actions have been concluded in this regard, Chair. And in relation to the subs appointment processes, there was an internal control deficiency that was highlighted there in terms of the finding. And we had three action steps where we then said we were going to verify qualifications before appointment, or enhance these processes of verification, because we are verifying, but we needed then to enhance the control systems surrounding this verification, and also engaging with other role players and stakeholders such as SACWA in this regard. Those actions have been completed, Chair. In conclusion, Chair, the post-audit action plan was developed immediately upon receipt of the final report from AGSA. We had a three-day session where we completed this action plan. It was approved by the National Commissioner immediately in October. We have steering committees that we immediately activated last year in November to monitor progress and to ensure that we hold ourselves accountable to deal with this and complete these actions. The steering committees are proceeding well. We have now included AGSA because they are already dealing with the interim audit in three provinces. The selected provinces, as per the audit strategy, they form weekly steering committee meetings with us so that we can guide and intervene where there is a need. I must indicate, Chair, that there are three provinces that have been audited up to so far. That will be your KZN, Gauteng, and Free State. Up to so far, we only have three comments. There are no material issues and material findings of note. Out of these three provinces, we do not have any finding relating to procurement as well as contract management. Thank you, Chairperson. That will be all from my side.
Thank you very much, General Dimpani. Honorable members and Deputy Minister and National Commissioner, before I start with the questions from the honorable members, the CETA and SAPS told us that the CETA board would sit by last week, and that the matter of the Central Firearm Registry would have been taken to the board of CETA. I called the Deputy Minister, I also called the head of CETA who said that in the committee. And I'd like to know if by now that board sat, because on Monday they had not sat yet. I'm very concerned that you come to the committee, even if it's through CETA, and you make certain commitments to the committee, and those commitments are never met. So I'm not going to lament on CETA again, but as the police, you brought this matter to our attention. CETA brought this matter to our attention, and commitments were made. So honorable members, I'm very disturbed by this. Before we start and take the questions, I wanted to mention it. I'll take the first round of questions. DM General Sotole, when I take responses, could you first respond to the Central Firearm Registry, please? I've noted the following hands. I start with Honorable Whitfield, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable De Blanche, and Honorable Shembeni and Siabi. Honorable Siabi, may I also ask that if you do not hear me responding efficiently, can you just assist me with the chairing? My load shedding has started. I hope my generator is going to keep me going, but my network is already showing signs of instability. So Honorable Siabe, just help me. Honorable Whitfield, Groenewald, De Blanche, Shembeni, Siabe, and then Peacock, please, can you ask two questions for now? Each member, you can ask two questions, and then I'll hand over to SAFS to respond. That order, Whitfield, Groenewald, De Blanche. You may start two questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will be as brief as possible. Chair, my first question relates to shortcomings that have been identified in the SAPS appointment process. Can we get some answers as to why SAPS appoint personnel without verifying qualifications? And if there have been any interventions in this respect, or against which criteria? So that just deals with the appointment process. That's the first question. And the second question, Chairperson, relates to, I suppose, page 19 on integration or systems integration, and perhaps also is linked to your concerns about CETA and the Central Firearms Registry. A couple of weeks ago, we were told that payment to suppliers is taking place within 30 days, yet we now have the Criminal Records Center and Crime Scene Management Center, whose doors have been locked, Chairperson, due to non-payment of the landlord. The landlord has locked the doors. There are no police clearance certificates being issued, and there is an impact as well on the issuing of firearm licenses, because the automated fingerprint identification system is temperamental at best, is on and offline. So the first question deals with the appointment processes of SAPS personnel and the failure to verify qualifications. And the second question relates to the Criminal Records Center and the impact on performance of non-payment of suppliers and the disruption in service delivery due to the failures of the AFIS system. I think it's a very current issue, and I think that members are probably getting a number of queries in this regard. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable De Blanche and then Honorable Shembeni.
I thought it was me who's going to speak. Can I continue?
Yes, sorry, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank
you. And then De Blanche.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, my first question is in terms of slide 26. Where it says the challenges on the implementation of the process, and it says there are still repeat findings and new emerging findings. I would like to know what are these new emerging findings, Honorable Chair. My second question is on slide 36. It is about the risk and integrity management. It was findings about members of the police owning taxis and also doing business with the state. And it says five action steps, which is 100% completed. And in the business, those doing business with the state, eight action steps, which is 100% completed. I would like to know what were these action steps. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable De Blanche, and then Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to acknowledge that it's quite evident that a significant effort was made by the management to clear some of these issues. But, Chairperson, there are still a lot of issues, and the majority is still in the supply chain management environment. And you know what worries me is that many of the findings do not have any actions aligned to it to address the shortcomings, and those that have actions have not been completed at the end of December 2021. Chairperson, and then this another, my last question. I just want to hear from the police whether they are, or how far are they, with the introduction of a transparent or open contracting sort of process that is normally a very powerful tool, you know, to combat corruption, etc. Those are my questions for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sablanche. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm being covered a little bit by Honorable Whitfield, but let me put the question this way. Can the department provide us with the details on the shortcomings identified in the SAPS appointment processes? Secondly, on the very same question, why does the SAPS appoint personnel without the verification of qualifications? What action steps are taken to address these challenges? What is the status of the employees appointed irregularly, that is without the valid qualifications? At which salary level or the ranks were these appointments made? What disciplinary action was taken against the responsible manager, and how to recover the costs after those appointments were done? Secondly, can the department explain the specific measures that were put up in place to address the problems within the SAPS supply chain division as per the BRRR recommendations? Lastly, Chair, are the regular lifestyle audits completed on supply chain personnel? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni, Honorable Siabe, Peacock, and then Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to DM, National Commissioner and the team and colleagues. Because of load shedding, you can see I'm sitting under the tree, Chair.
I think your umbrella looks very good.
Yes, Chair. My question is, we were once told of the process of restructuring. How far is the is that process of restructuring? And I'm asking this question in the context of the presentation that is made, that there's always a complaint that the substructure is top heavy. How far is that process of restructuring? Secondly, there are advertisements for recruitment of police officers. Now, in terms of the report on performance, there is minimal resources in visible policing. I just want to know, out of the 12,000 or so positions that are going to be recruited, how are these positions going to be distributed in the whole substructure? I saw somewhere they even require Bachelor of Sciences degrees. Now, how are these 12,000 positions going to be distributed throughout the structure? And just to check finally, Chair, whether the plan put before us, somewhere the steps are completed 100%, somewhere 95%. Are these pre-audited to make sure that by the time real audit happens at the end of the financial year, they are found to be in line with what the AG requires? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Siabi, thank you very much. In line with the questions asked by Honorable Siabi, could you include a question from me on the reservists? I was very horrified when I watched the program on how reservists, they haven't qualified for medicals or they haven't qualified for fitness, but they've been reservists, so some of them for 10 years without being paid. They are issued with uniforms and weapons, and they have literally become an admitting to having become criminals themselves. So this problem of reservists, will we continue having reservists who do not meet criteria? Will we inform them that they will not be appointed? Couldn't we use this new intake as an opportunity to review our position on reservists? Thank you very much. Honorable Peacock and then Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Good morning, Chair. Morning to the DM. Members of the Portfolio Committee, the National Commissioner, as well as the SEPS delegation. Let me first start by acknowledging the presentation made today regarding the post-audit action plan. My question, not really a question, Chairperson, on the presentation made, especially on supply chain, you can see that there is some improvement. But my most concern that I'm having is that with regards to the findings that are there now, and you see that the findings are also linked to part of CETA. The findings are also linked to how SEPS is trying to manage the supply chain management process. Now my recommendation would be, Chairperson, I remember on the last presentation made by SEPS with regard to the supply chain management was, we should get a presentation. Most, we said, at least every month to see the progress on supply chain management. And on that presentation, Chairperson, with regards to this finding, we would also recommend that the internal audit committee or the internal audit team should form part of that presentation so that we'll be able to analyze and look specifically on these issues that have been stated here, if the process is really well documented. Because if you look into the presentation, there's lack of, with regards to the source documents, with regard to the network assets. So we will need to have a presentation with internal audit for us to make sure or to be in a position so that we'd be able to make a clear and proper observation or to play a correct oversight role with regards to the presentation itself. Not to say that I don't trust the presentation, but I still believe we need to get the internal audit team so that we'll be sure and clearly verify that we are on the correct track and we are moving to the right direction. With regards to the network asset issues, I would also recommend that SEPS should make a presentation with the presence of CETA to make sure that this post-audit action plan speaks also to what CETA is intending to do, because it does not help we get the presentation from SEPS. At the end of the day, when you do a comparison with what CETA has, it's a different story. Based on the history that we have with CETA and SEPS, hence, I'm saying that we need always to do checks and balances. So I think that's all from my side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock, Sheikh Imam, and then responses. Thank you, Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm currently in three different meetings and about to join the fourth one. The chief was with me, so please pardon me for not being able to follow all of them accurately at the same time. Now, Jefferson, if you remember that when we interrogated the issue of supply chain, particularly on the corruption we found during the time of the PPE scandal. The department was supposed to have come and given us a comprehensive report to explain why on a particular product like the 5-liter sanitizer, they paid 450 Rand in one company and 160 Rand in the other companies. They were supposed to come back and do that. They did not. But very importantly, they did highlight that there may be a problem in terms of red tape in the supply chain process. And maybe they need to elaborate on that so that how we could actually find a way of dealing with the challenges that they face. But what I want to know, and I think one of our honorable members have alluded to that already, will SAPS be the first one, the first department, to follow a absolutely transparent process of supply chain and procurement in the country? In other words, after even the contract is awarded, telling us who they awarded it to, who are the company owners, what was the value of the contract, and how much you're paying for each item. In that case, you'll be saving a lot of money in the country. So that is my first question. Chairperson, the second one is the issue of restructuring. Now, there is a very low morale amongst police officers, and I think you've just alluded to something like that earlier on. I've spoken to somebody yesterday, 22 years as a warrant officer, no promotion whatsoever. And they believe that promotions are being given to those handpicked by senior officers of the South African Police Service. And that is why so many of them are disgruntled. That is why you're losing the skills in the South African Police Service and quite fast to the private sector. So that is my second. The third thing is this. We do accept and understand there is corruption all over. However, we can't accept corruption in the law enforcement because these are the people that have a specific mandate to uphold the rule of law. Now, we find that whilst you might be doing some investigation on these people when you take them on, I'm of the understanding that these lifestyle audits do not continue during their period of time. Now, if you saw the latest report, Chairperson, on the deaths by suicide of South African police services, sometimes we blame law enforcement for everything, we blame the police service. And we don't understand what they have to go through when they get to a scene of a crime of a murder, which is horrific, how it affects them psychologically and emotionally. I don't believe, Chairperson, in having discussion with many people in the law enforcement, that SAPS is doing enough about dealing with this problem of providing them psychosocial support and future. Let me stop there for now. Chairperson, if you could pardon me, I'm joining the Chief Whip's meeting as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Marekwa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me also greet the Deputy Minister, the Commissioner General Sithole, and the delegation from SAPS, and the honorable members on the platform. Let me also take this opportunity, Chairperson, to welcome the report as presented to us this morning, and also to appreciate that when looking into the report, one appreciates that there are areas in the report where there has been completion or conclusion in terms of what was being done in terms of the findings that have been reported. And that that also gives hope that there is work being done on those findings that they have been concluded. Others at 90%, others at 50%. But what I am concerned about is that in most of the findings, some of them are mentioned as in process. And there is no time frame given to say when, or at least a date to say when do we envisage to have completed these findings and bring the whole matters under conclusion. The other part that I would want to raise on the report, particularly on these findings, when you check from page 16, 19, page 20, up until page 25, then most of them are in process. I think in the report, it's only on page 34 that gives a kind of holistic information that says this has been concluded and there is a time frame like 31st of May we'll be completing this. That is what the police report is saying. The other part that I want to talk to a chairperson is on the recruitment. I think other members have spoken about it, the appointment or recruitment, whatever we call it. But I think the recruitment process in SAPS is something that needs to be given serious attention, because we cannot have a new member today starting as a constable, and then tomorrow there is a case against the member having been involved in some crime or something outside there. And that brings also the image and the reputation of the police. It harms that image of the police. So I think recruitment processes needs really to be seriously looked into to make sure that we bring people who really want to do the job of the police, like to avoid things that talk to owning taxis, owning, having businesses with government, and doing other things outside of the police, which is not, which is against the law or the regulations or the rules of the police. So I think we need to really pay attention to our the recruitment process and make sure that the real people and serious people about policing come into the police. Of what is happening currently outside there, the police is under tremendous pressure and attack and undermining by communities to say that the police is not helping, because we've got people within the police who are doing these things with other people and or criminals outside. It is also disturbing to find that young policemen in the police, when there are heists like the case in Rosettenville, you find that there is information that there are police involved. And how does those criminals also get the equipment of the police? So I think if we can tighten that area of recruitment, including appointments, whether lateral or so, if we can tighten that, it will assist and really bring respect back to the police. And the other part is on the top-heavy structure, restructuring. Other members are mentioning it as restructuring. But I think top-heavy structure, it is important that we make sure that we have more people on the ground doing police work. More people on the ground doing police work rather than us being in the offices and doing, you know, stamping and all those other things. I think it's important that South Africa, in the state where it is now, we need more police on the field, on the ground, to assist in crime fighting and nothing else. Thank you so much.
Honorable members, have we lost Marekwa? Or is it me?
No, we heard her, Chair.
So she's done now?
Yes.
Yes, Chair.
All right. Thanks, Honorable Marekwa. Honorable DM and National Commissioner, Honorable Members, you can lower your hands now. You may respond and just give your people opportunity to respond. As I'm saying, we are doing well. We haven't lost too many members yet. DM, you may start and then just hand over. Don't let the chair come in and waste more time. So the time to respond is absolutely yours. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the questions that members have raised. I'll ask the Commissioner and the team to lead the process of responding. Over to you, Commissioner and the team. Through your chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and DM with your lead. Let me start by expressing my appreciation to the questions raised by the Honorable Members, and as well as the guidance that we're getting therefrom. As usual, I'm going to take the strategic related questions. And after all, I'm going to ask for permission for the deputies to take the floor and the relevant specific environments. Chair, firstly, the question with regard to the CETA port, it's going to be answered by Lieutenant General Vuma, because she is dealing with the matter. Secondly, Chair, I would like to take the contract management question and indicate to the committee that yes, we started by designing the contract management strategy, which we then formally introduced in the organization. I think it was also acknowledged by SCOPA as the SAS being the first department to introduce the contract management strategy. The contract management committee, which has been established under the umbrella of the strategy, has been given a clear assignment to take contract management to the level of dealing transparently with contracts. The information that is related on by the members will be available soon because the contract management team is driving the contract management process towards that particular direction. But they obviously started dealing with the damage control in terms of the damage which has been caused already, especially more by corruption. Then the next question also joins, which is the measures that we have taken against supply chain or what is happening there. I'm sure honorable members might have picked it up in the media that has been another takedown of 16 members, which happened in February, pertaining to the same actions related to the cleaning up of supply chain. And there's various members whose services were also terminated as a result of disciplinary action that has taken place within supply chain. In my view, there's almost enough action taken, and there's still action that is being initiated to clean supply chain further going forward. The level of contamination was too much when we started. But we're getting to a point where supply chain will just be a clear that is division. And it is important for us to also indicate that the very same environment is under corporate renewal strategy. So we're trying to rebuild it so that it also present a better image for the organization. The restructuring process, Chair, maybe it might just be important to indicate that the top-heavy structure, the reduction process, has already taken place, although it's still in progress. Firstly, it's now a known fact that the Deputy National Commissioner has been reduced from 6 to 3, and in terms of the current approved structure, it only provides for 3 Deputy National Commissioners. And divisions has been scaled down from 14, I'm sure, to 9. And there's 3 divisions which were scaled down and terminated as a result of reduction of the top-heavy structure. And directives were then very clear with regard to the disposal of those positions. The CFO function was instructed to freeze the budget of those particular ranks so that it is taken down to production level, rather be used to employ more constables so that they are deployed at the stations than to keep it at the high level. But then obviously there has been a lot of conflict of interest as far as restructuring is concerned. Today we proceed, tomorrow we hold on, tomorrow is another party. At the present moment it has been unlocked, and the restructuring committee is continuing. There has been a recent sitting under the chairpersonship of Lieutenant General Vuma. They were all there together with the unions. So it's still proceeding again. All we would plead for its support from all angles, including the committee, that the sooner we finish this process, the better. But then again, if we do not proceed with the restructuring, unfortunately, there won't be enough resources on the ground because the budget that has been allocated is not enough to cater for all the police stations at the present moment. So we are compelled to migrate the current resources, which are at the macro function, down to production level. Then I think they would then also talk to the recruitment a little bit more details. I only wanted to speak a little on reservists to say those reservists who might not be meeting requirements, but the HR will have to explain more clearer on this matter. I think we have also introduced the Tourism Reserve Police Force, Police Service, and as well as the Royal Reserve. And those are permanent type of arrangement or complementary arrangement to the personnel plan of the organization. So they may as well be permanently absorbed into this particular new concept. But obviously, HR will give more detailed response as to why are they not absorbed. Then the payment of suppliers, I think the CFO function will respond more clearer. But what I wanted to point out to the committee is that when it comes to lease of buildings and other related type of supplier payment, there's then an overlap to public works. And we have also experienced some few problems in which police were kicked out of buildings where it's not necessarily our responsibility to make sure that those leads are paid. But then again, it also included a switch off of electricity. So it's a cross-cutting type of a responsibility at other times. But the more details pertaining to suppliers that are directly linked to us will be provided by the CFO function. So for now, Chair, these are the responses that I wanted to relate to from a strategic response point of view, in order just to make sure that these processes are well taken and they also sustain. We've also activated the compliance board process from inspectorate so that it complements this particular process of auditing. And we have also developed an internal control framework in terms of Section 38H of the Public Finance Management Act in order to make sure then that where there's been weak points and then there's measures that are in place to make sure that we do not reverse the situation. So with your permission, the Deputy National Commissioners can take the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, National Commissioner. You may continue.
Good morning to the Deputy Minister of Police, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, our National Commissioner, all colleagues in the platform. Today I struggled with the connectivity based on the load sharing. I could only capture the very first question, which the National Commissioner said I will respond to. The question with regard to CETA challenges and issues is quite a serious one. I've spoken to the CEO of CETA, who is equally says he himself is also frustrated due to the fact that he says he cannot force the board to approve several times they are also going to sit on Thursday. He even indicated to me that he had, as the chairperson alluded, spoken to our honorable chairperson that maybe we need to request our minister to intervene in that regard. It is quite a serious issue. There is also, with regard to the also restructuring, as the National Commissioner has touched on it partially, the restructuring has been a frustrating process for us as the committee. We should have finalized it by now, but due to issues and challenges that the National Commissioner has mentioned, we are unable to complete. But we have set recently and we have conducted workshop with all provincial commissioners and the divisional commissioners, and we have mapped the direction. We had continuously have to change our dates in order to make sure that we accommodate the time that has been lost during the time when we were required to put the process on hold. So as we said previously, we have agreed that the finalization of our restructuring will take place and be finalized in the next 3 months, meaning by May, we shall have finalized all processes relating to restructuring, and the provinces and this, we will receive a directive this week still for them to start sitting as all committees to engage on finalization of the restructuring. I have received information from my colleagues. As I said, I struggled with connectivity, and my Wi-Fi was not working when I broke from the load shedding. So I'm informed that we have questions relating to recruitment, which I will request General Nzia to handle them with your permission, Chairperson. And there's also questions relating to supply chain risk and integrity, where it talks about people who are doing business with the state, as well as the CFO, to respond on the other question relating to payment of suppliers within 30 days, which it is indeed we are 98%-something in terms of payment of suppliers. But those that are not being paid are those that have got dependencies. With your permission, Chairperson, shall I request General Nzia to respond on HRM-related questions, followed by General Rich on the supply chain risk and integrity on those dealing with the members who are doing business with the state, and finally CFO. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General Vuma. You may continue.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, Chair, I need to apologize in advance. I'm also having a power outage. My network might be disturbed by the power outage, but greetings to you, Chair, to also members of the committee, the Deputy Minister of Police, the National Commissioner of Police, and all the colleagues that are in the platform. Chair, in responding to the questions raised by members of the committee on HR-related matters, I'll start with the first two, Chair. The ones that are appearing in the audit findings. And in terms of the two, Chair, the first one that was picked up by the AG was the issue of the reference checks. The file that they have checked, Chair, at our forensic lab indicated that the form of the reference check was not in the file. And what we have done since this audit, Chair, we have issued a directive internally indicating to all provinces and divisions that all their appointments documents that are submitting to head office, part of the checklist, there must be reference checks. I can confirm, Chair, that with the current process that we are busy with of the recruitment of the 10,000, all the files are having reference checks. So we are starting to see some positives, Chair, out of the circular that we have issued. So we are not accepting any file as head office which doesn't have a reference check form. So that one, Chair, I can indicate that measures have already been put in place, and we'll continue to monitor that there is compliance, even in our inspections that we conduct in provinces and divisions. We also continue to check if all the files, the appointment files, are having the reference checks. The second one, Chair, is the verification of qualifications. And this one, I can indicate, Chair, that
as it was indicated by the AG, is that every appointment that we do in the SAPS, we need to verify the qualification before the appointment. And what they have found is that few of those that they have checked the first chair, their qualifications were not verified. The process that we are following, chair, in the organization is that we'll do all the process, and the successful candidates will submit all their appointment documents, and together with those appointment documents, the qualification will be there. So we take all the qualifications, we submit them to the South African Qualifications Authority for them to verify, and thereafter they give us the feedback. I must indicate, Chair, that in terms of our memorandum of agreement with the SAQA, their turnaround time is 30 days for them to give us feedback on their verification of qualifications. But in some cases, they might take longer depending on the work that they're supposed to do, because some qualifications are unable to find them on the system. They have to go to on the field and do some field work for them to give us feedback. So in some instances, they are taking a little bit long. But what we have done, Chair, we have put now measures in place to make sure that in our recruitment plan, we also factor in the 30 days before we can issue an appointment letter to make sure that we give SAQA enough chance to verify the qualification. I must also indicate, Chair, that those colleagues that we will have appointed, and later on SAQA indicates that their qualification is fraudulent, we immediately start our disciplinary process, which also leads to termination because they'll have misrepresented in terms of the documents that they have submitted. And we also open, you know, criminal cases. But I can confirm that, Chair, every appointment that we do, the qualification will be there. Unfortunately, from our naked eye, we are unable to determine that this is a fraudulent qualification. That is why we are submitting it to the South African Qualifications Authority. I can also indicate, Chair, that yes, the DPSA has issued a directive to all the government departments that qualifications must be verified by. And I can also indicate, Chair, that SAPS is one of the departments that is doing well in terms of verification of qualifications. We get a budget allocation every year from the CFO specifically for this project. We are verifying all the qualifications, but the problem in this one was we appointed before we received the results from the South African Qualifications Authority, but we are waiting towards correcting that, Chair. Then there was a question, Chairperson, on the issue of the reservists. I think the National Commissioner has also spoken to it. Yes, I saw the clip last week, Chair, at checkpoint where they were interviewing some of our reservists. I must indicate, Chair, that since 2011, SAPS has done a lot in terms of appointing or absorbing some of the reservists, especially those that were qualifying or those that are qualifying. The reservists that are actually complaining, majority of them are those that joined the police long time ago, Chairperson, and they are not meeting the requirements, because we had different categories of reservists. Some were joining the police without heavy metric. Yes, some joined the police with metric, and they had to also follow all the processes or all the steps that a normal applicant follows. So majority of them, they are failing in terms of the medicals. The majority of them are failing in terms of also the physical fitness, Chairperson. But I must indicate that the SAPS has since amended their requirements in terms of the recruitment of the reservists. What we have done, Chair, we are saying every reservist that joined the police now must meet the requirements of a permanent police officer, so that it's easy for them to apply for any post that we advertise in the SAPS. If the Chairperson wants us to give or to share the statistics of how many reservists we have absorbed since 2011, I can make that information available. But since that clip at Chalk Point, Chair, I've also engaged with some provincial commissioners and say we need to, you know, have a conversation as an organization to say, what are we going to do with the reservists that are not meeting the requirements currently and are still operating as a reservists? So it's something that as an organization, together with our operational counterparts, we need to discuss and maybe come up with a solution. And currently, I cannot give a solution, Chair, until that conversation has taken place with the operational environment. And there was a question, Chairperson, in terms of the current intake, as to how is the allocation of the current intake. Chairperson, if you allow me, I can indicate that the 10,000 that we are busy with, that will be taken to the college in the 1st of April, we have distributed the 10,000 in different provinces. And in terms of Gauteng province, out of 10,000, they will be receiving 2,278. And this figure will be distributed between our visible policing environment as well as the detectives. KwaZulu-Natal will be receiving 1,601. Western Cape will be receiving 1,158. Eastern Cape will be receiving 1,087. Free State will be receiving 1,006. Limpopo will be receiving 861. Mpumalanga will be receiving 690. Northwest will be receiving 624. Northern Cape 501. And I could also indicate, Chairperson, that POPS units will also be receiving 1,000 out of this 10,000 posts that have been allocated. I can also indicate, Chair, that even with this current recruitment process, we have also prioritized our reservists, and a number of them, they will also be going to the college in April. And I think I have responded to all the HR-related questions. Chair, if I have omitted any, I will be advised as such. And I also took note of the comment of Honorable Member Moregwa, who indicated that our recruitment or appointment process needs to be strengthened. And I can also indicate, Chair, that we had a recruitment in Daba in 2019, looking at processes or where we can improve or strengthen our recruitment process. We are continuously looking at how we can strengthen it, and any input and advice, we do take that and make sure that we improve on our processes. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Next.
Good morning, Chairperson. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, General Rick, you may start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to you again, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, Members of Parliament, and my colleagues. Chairperson, I'm quickly going to respond on the issues that was given to by the NASCOM in terms of his explanation with regard to leases. Yes, Chairperson, Honorable Watfield was correct in terms of the Crown Record Center, which was locked by the landlord. As the National Commission was saying, we are actually dependent on another government department in this regard. I can just indicate that at this stage, there's currently now negotiations between the public works as well as the landlord. The prospect of having this particular building open is very good that it's going to be open today. But I can just actually assure the committee here that as the South African Police Service, we paid all our funds with for leases to public works. So eventually, they are the one who actually needs to pay the suppliers in this particular regard as the mandated government department. Chairperson, with regard to the transparent process that was coming forward to prevent corruption, Chairperson, I can just indicate that our process are transparent. We have been guided by the National Treasury instructions, various instructions, and I believe also Honorable Blanche, since he was also from this environment, he's also taught me a word or two in terms of conforming to the particular instructions also. So he's actually quite aware of this process. But we above that, we've also got checklists that we have introduced in the South African Police Service this particular financial year, which is also going to be bearing fruit going forward in this organization, where we check all our procurement processes to see where it conforms with the relevant instructions. Am I still audible?
God, we lost you for a minute. You may continue, General Reed.
Yeah, I must apologize, Chairperson, because I'm using my cell phone and there was a call coming in here because my network is also very bad here. My apologies, Chair. Despite the fact that Treasury is actually guiding our procurement process, we, as I've said, we have introduced also a checklist to check all our procurement, each and every procurement is going to be checked against the relevant legislative frameworks as well as the regulations which govern the procurement processes. We are also being monitored by the internal auditors, also the Auditor General, SIU, which also our bodies actually check as to what is actually our process in terms of procurement. Eventually, those particular bodies are also making sure that actually their corruption are being prevented or combated in the organization. Chairperson, maybe I can also just indicate that I know, yes, supply chain, as the National Commission was indicating, we did have deep-rooted challenges, but I can just indicate that we have actually gained some stride in actually bringing supply chain into the right food place, although we still got some challenges. But I can also just say, Chairperson, supply chain is actually on a much more higher level than we used to be. As I'm saying, there will still be challenges, but for example, in terms of the outcome of the AG that we are currently discussing, it's because of supply chain intervention in terms of making sure that we follow processes that we actually found a very good unqualified audit in the organization. I don't want to brag, Chairperson, but I'm really proud to be a supply chain manager at this stage, unless maybe perhaps something I'm missing, which I don't understand what is being highlighted, but I will also appreciate if weak point can be shown to us so that we can actually improve on that also. Chairperson, the NASCOM did talk about the corporate renewal strategy in the supply chain environment. I'm not going to touch much on it because we are still working towards that. With regard to corruption on PPE, Chairperson, I don't want to comment on it because there's various investigations that is being conducted by the DPCI. Maybe they will be the one who can actually allude to that. But I can just indicate that our procurement in that regard came under scrutiny by the AG, and the AG actually submitted the report, which doesn't even show any type of corruption, unless maybe facts can be brought to us so that actually can be also be related to the DPCI in this particular regard. Red tapes in supply chain process, Chairperson, again, as I'm saying, I will be advised by the committee members to indicate to us what is this red tape, because supply chain is a highly regulated area, which is actually we must conform to each and every process which is being guided by law and prescripts. So, Chairperson, if we don't follow those prescripts to cover issues which is not being seen as red tapes, then we're going into a risk. And unfortunately, we are guided by law, and actually at that stage, we only adhere to this particular, and this I'm saying, the AG finding or the AG outcome is a proof as to supply chain management processes are actually going the right direction. And Chairperson, as General Dimpani was indicating earlier on, three provinces was currently now being audited, and there's no finding with regard to procurement so far. I'm not sure what will happen going forward with the other provinces, including also my division here. Then there was also a question about the transparent process on supply chain awarding contracts. Chairperson, again, as I'm saying, we're guided by prescripts. We've got the e-tender process, which is actually regulated by National Treasury for each and every tender that is actually being awarded. We must advertise it as such in the e-tender, and that is a government prescript, and we are doing that, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I'm saying, supply chain is doing its utmost best. I'm not saying we are without mistakes. Other issues, we are dependent from other government departments, but we are doing our utmost best. I'm here to learn also if there's been any issues that need to be highlighted to supply chain, then we can actually correct that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, General Reed. Yes, indeed, even though we still have problems with supply chain, there is definitely an improvement, and we implore you and your team to continue with your hard work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will take just two questions in relation to payment of service providers. Yes, we can confirm that the department is currently compliant at the level of 99.7%. There will be invoices that are in dispute where we have to agree and resolve those disputes with service providers, but we are at 99.7%. Chair, there was also a question on this post-audit action plan, whether it is being audited as well to ensure and confirm that we have executed these actions. Chair, I can just give comfort that even the audit committee has instructed internal audit to validate this work that we would have
indicated that we have completed. So internal audit will take this post-audit action plan, go through all the actions where we indicate that we have completed these actions. They then undertake a validation exercise, and that report will be presented in the audit committee. The audit committee in our quarterly meetings equally monitor this post-audit action plans. We present, we give updates, and we give comfort that indeed the actions that we said we were going to execute in order to resolve these findings and also to prevent reoccurrence do take place. When we put these actions and we put these solutions, Chairperson, we do not only focus on the finding that was issued at the time of the audit. We equally visit all the transactions that would have taken place during that particular financial year, develop checklists so that we then have got systems in control, system controls that prevent the reoccurrence of these findings or the repeat findings in this regard. We are working in collaboration with internal audit so that they keep us on our toes. They raise issues, and those issues that are raised by internal audit are equally followed up to prevent reoccurrence of findings in the financial environment space as well as in the performance information space. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Do we have more responses?
Yes, Chairperson, is General Matro. Good morning, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, honorable members, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, Generals present, with regard to the issue of members conducting business with state, Honorable Sarah Blanche wanted action steps that we have completed. With there were five, and number one of it was to investigate and purify the database for the identified members as preventative measure. That was done, only to find that out of 91 members that were alleged to have been conducting business with state, 44 of them were inactive directors in the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, and then three of them had no companies. 40 of them were interns and their services were terminated, and then four of them resigned as directors of their companies. The second one was to strengthen engagement with the Department of Transport to relook at the linking of the system as a reactive measure. That one, we have engaged with the Department of Transport. A letter was sent on the 23rd of November 2021. The first meeting with the Department of Transport was on the 9th, and then the second one was 28th, and the 9th February, the second one was 28th February, and the next coming one is on the 15th of March. In that meeting, we have agreed with the Department of Transport to use the verification system by DPSA, Identity Verification System, to prevent members of police to be given the operational license to operate taxis. Awareness sessions, the third one was awareness sessions to be rolled out to members. We are continuously doing that as integrity management. Members to be given time frames and turn around to finish the office with the chief risk officer with the proof of transfer of vehicles and ownership. With this one, it was concluded based on the fact that other members were not owning taxis, but procured or purchased taxis on behalf of the family members, hence they were picked up, and then consequence management to be instituted to non-compliant members. That is a continuous process, and we are currently at the advanced stage. Other members have been dismissed, other members have been given warnings, and then for those who have reapplied or renewed their licenses, we will continuously institute disciplinary processes in that regard. With regard to the employees conducting business, there were 9 steps. That was to purify the data, and then the data has been purified, and engage with the Department of Public Service and Administration, and then that has been done, and the letters were sent on the 29th of November 2021. And with this one, it was not only the Department of DPSA and the National Treasury, we have also realized that the Department of Social Development, with regard to the 350, we were also affected, and we have purified that. And the DPSA has proactive measures to block those ones who are applying for 350 while in the employ of state. With the third one was the National Treasury to update the system. We were our interns were appointed as not interns on the system, and that has been corrected. And the fourth one was HR and finance to use correct job classification, that is linked to the third one, that has been corrected. Finance to fast track the process of service termination, that has been corrected. And then our continuously as members resign, and they are the termination is fast tracked. The sixth one being the design and inclusive integrity management declaration form, incorporating members conducting business with state on the employment forms, that has been done. The declaration form to be part of the employment application forms, that has been done. And then as the department, we have realized that the central supplier database is the entry point of members conducting business with state. And then we have issued a directive for members to resign from the registration on the central supplier database. We are continuously reissuing that directive. Thank you, Chair. That is with regard to members involved in taxes and members conducting business with state.
Thank you very much. Do we have any further responses?
Yes, Thank you very much, Chairperson. There is a question regarding the imaging findings. I will request General Rabi to elaborate on that particular question with your permission. Thank you very much, Madam.
Thank you very much, General Buma. General Rabi.
Honourable Chair, thank you. The question was raised by Honourable Groenewald about some detail on the repeat findings that we've identified, as well as new emerging findings. As I have indicated in
recording stop.
As I've indicated in the initial presentation, we are currently
recording in progress.
Around about three quarters through the interim audit. And they have included a new program, Program 3, that includes DPCI, Detectives and Forensic Services, that has not been audited in the previous 2 years. So the findings that we see emerging in that environment is considered to be emerging findings. And what that includes, for instance, is issues around the recording of crime, in a way, the detail in terms of the complainant, the victims, and the number of charges that have been included. So those are primarily, when we look at the detective service, around the data that is associated with the investigation process, more specifically the detail of complainants and victims. And then there are a couple of findings within the forensics environment that relates to the leads, fingerprint leads, the DNA, person-to-person leads, etc. I can maybe just ask at this point, Honourable Chair, we are in the process of responding to these findings, so they are not yet confirmed. We will have a much better indication at the end of the interim audit process to, and we'll be in a better position to give the detail what exactly, because some of these findings are currently disputed, if that is the correct word that I can use. So we still have to meet with HSA to confirm those. If we are looking at the repeat findings, Chair, the ones that they are primarily in Program 2, Visible Policing, where we find some of the findings that are repeating themselves, for instance, is where the detail of the charges are not 100% correctly captured compared to what we have in the docket. There's a couple of findings on that. And then also where the detail of the complainants and victims, when they report the crime, is not accurately reflected. And we also have a couple of findings that talks to the recovery of lost stolen firearms and vehicles.
where we have an overstatement of performance because some of these have been recovered outside the reporting period. But Chair, these findings, actually we have low numbers at the moment, so we cannot comment on the materiality. The materiality will only become visible when we get to the end of the audit to determine whether the error rate exceeds a 5% error rate. But those are in essence the new emerging findings and within program 3 and then some of the repeat findings in program 2. Thank you for the opportunity, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. DM, does that bring to an end our responses?
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. It does. And I think that, yeah, including the issue raised about CETA, we will continue to pressurize them to respond appropriately to our needs. We did say in the meeting here last time when the CEO was here that we, in fact, I think I made that comment that we are not happy with how they've been servicing us, and we can't trust in some of the commitments that they make. I'm not saying that they won't respond appropriately here, but this is a typical example of the experiences that we have had. The solution there is to look at the Act, because the law allows the South African police to can make a submission through DPSA to opt out of the CETA arrangement. For as long as there is this dependency, we will one way or the other have difficulties with CETA. And I think we will be happy if the committee can support the initiative for the South African police to opt out of CETA and address their IT needs, just the same way as the Army does. The police is a different environment altogether, and speed is of essence if we are to succeed in the things that we are doing. And if we are to depend on an institution like CETA, which has been giving government headaches ever the years since its establishment, I think I think the option is to make a representation to the DBS, the Public Service and Administration, that we be excluded from CETA and we handle IT on our own. The issue of recruitment that General Nthia spoke to, probably it might be important to explain to the committee the entire process. It's a very transparent recruitment process where people fail and succeed based on how they respond to questions that they ask. And I agree that sometimes when fraudulent certificates are presented, you might not see that this is not the right certificate, but only through going to records to people who are the custodian of this information that were able to establish the fact. So there will be such mistakes, but it's not a general norm that we appoint people who are not properly qualified. And I agree with General Reed, our procurement process is very transparent, guided by the law. We might not be where we want to be as the South African police with regard to the things that we are doing, but definitely we are not like where we were yesterday. Supply chain, we reported to the committee here that it literally collapsed. There were no instruments, there were no systems there, nothing was happening, and we had to build it up. General Reed came in together with the team. Since he arrived to where we are today, there have been steady progress, Chair and members of the committee. We are not 100% perfect, but we are better. And many things that were outstanding that affected our ability to do work, for instance, in the forensic space, there is progress today. But of course, there is much that we still need to do in that area so that we are running at 100%. But generally speaking, I think there has been a progress, and well, challenges will be there. Like when we come to you, we always say that you have an advantage point of seeing things that we don't see. And as we interact with you, the questions that you raise to us, they make us wiser, including today's interaction with yourselves. They make us wiser and better, and will only improve. And we appreciate the collaboration that we have with the committee, even though we know that you whip us a lot, but I see it as collaboration myself, that we must work together to ensure that policing is improved. I thought I must just make those additions, Chair. But yeah, I think that they've been able to respond to most of the questions that you have asked. And yes, indeed, load shedding is really disorganizing us a bit. But we this is our situation. We must make do with what we have. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Before I take another round of questions, I think the comments made by Honorable Morekwa should be looked at very carefully in terms of the top-heavy structure of SAPS and having more people on the ground. It is a comment which we have made, and an observation, and indeed a problem which we have flagged as a committee. Honorable members of the committee, for the next term, we are prioritizing meetings with the ministers of communications and a separate meeting with the minister of public works. Honorable deputy minister, could we implore you to also, and I know it's not your job, we cannot send you as a messenger, I'll write to the minister, Nicolette, can you prepare that letter for me? So that he interacts with his colleague in writing on the situation we have with CETA, as well as the situation with public works. Before you, in the next round, could you also indicate to me what we have in terms of our underspending right now? We have come to the end of the financial year, and the report I'm receiving is that we are anticipating quite a large underspending. Honorable Deputy Minister, could we also have, and I'm requesting this in particular as the Chair, an audited list of all the reservists that you have on your system, those that have been absorbed, those who are still yet to be absorbed, and then those who have serious challenges. And then what you will do with these ones of serious challenges, because I would like to recommend that you look at them quite carefully and that they may in fact have to be removed from the system. The next point is that those were informed, there was a number of complaints I received of individuals who were informed just before COVID that they were accepted by SAPS. And they resigned from their jobs, and then they were not notified when they should start working. So those people are sending me messages to say that they have just been left in the lurch, and that they currently do not have an understanding of their status. Honorable Member Shembeni, you have also written to us on the members' WhatsApp group. We'll be taking this on review. Can you kindly indicate to us, as Nicolette had asked, who is the author of this message, which claims that there are members who are dismissed, but there are no records of their dismissal at the Government Employees Pension Fund and SARS, that they never received dismissal letters from the National Commissioner, and they are still shown as being active on the system. These are all audit irregularities, which if we cannot continue eliminating and addressing on our system will keep presenting themselves, and we'll always be having to look at those challenges. Honorable members, I'll take a second round of questions. I've noted Honorable Whitfield and then Dr. Groenewald. Honorable Shembeni, is this an old hand or an old new hand? Honorable Shembeni?
It's a new hand.
All right. Then
yes,
we will start.
I thought it would start by me.
Yes. No, no. Your hand stayed up. That's why I'm asking you, is it an old new hand or a new hand? So we will start with Honorable Shembeni, then Honorable Whitfield, Groenewald, and then Ter Blanche. Honorable Shembeni, you may start.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to come to the issue of the dismissal of members. A lot of members have been dismissed in Free State. I think from 2018 to 2022, about 43 members that are dismissed. Now, here what I want to know, there are sections or regulations from the SAPS, like the regulation 12 of 2006, 12.1e, or the members were supposed to be dismissed according to regulation 976 of 2016. Now, I find out that now there is a member that has been dismissed under this regulation 12, and now the office or the provincial commissioner's office in Free State sent somebody now, another member, to the dismissed member with the documents that that member must sign, the previous documents that she signed were wrong because of the wrong regulation. How proper is that? How can that top management do such a mistake? Now, I'm looking at these other members that have been dismissed. That out of these members, how many members do we have that have been dismissed under a wrong regulation? And if they discover, what is it that is going to happen? Because already, seemingly, they have discovered. Who must take responsibility to that? What is going to happen? And what is the cause of all these things that these members are dismissed in such a way? Secondly, I want to find out that if a member of the disciplinary committee is being asked by an employee that is being dismissed to excuse himself or herself because he himself is being under investigation and refuses and continues with the disciplinary hearing and find this person guilty and dismiss him or her. What do you call it? Because that person was asked to recuse or excuse himself from the disciplinary hearing because he or she is being investigated himself or herself, but forcefully continues to discipline this one and discipline and dismisses him or her. What do you call that? Is that a lawful dismissal or what? Is that what I want to know? This is what is happening in Free State. I would like to get answers from the commissioner there or whoever from the human resource management at the senior level, because a lot of lawsuits are coming concerning what is happening in this province and nobody is attending to it. Secondly, Honorable Minister, what are you doing with the whistleblowers? Are they protected or not in this dispensation in South Africa? Because seemingly, once you become a whistleblower, you are exposed and killed. And all this is happening under the SAPS. Our people are not protected. That's why they are not giving us the information of what is happening in the ground. So something must be done. I want to know exactly what is happening with the protection of the whistleblowers, or must we take it up with the committee and the president and leave the South African police outside these things? because they are involved. And those people who are supposed to protect the whistleblowers are the people who want to kill them. Sorry for that. So I think something must be done here, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Commissioner, and other Deputy Commissioners. This is very, very much important. Lastly, are supply chain management members vetted for security clearance? If so, what level of clearance do they have? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni. Whitfield, Groenewald, and then to Blanche. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's really just a follow-up, and I'm not sure if I missed it. My signal did break up during the responses. Chair, I made a request. There was a presentation, I think it was on slide 19 about systems integration. I just wanted to find out very specifically whether AFIS is part of the issues relating to CETA. I'm aware that there are issues with the automated fingerprint identification system, and that, you know, this obviously has an impact on clearance certificates, firearm licenses, amongst other issues. Could we just get a status update on AFIS and what the future is in respect of systems integration, whether AFIS falls within that that program? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Whitfield. Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I have two follow-up questions. The first is that I would like to have an update on the position of the head of the DPCI, General Labia, who became 60 in September. The Act is very clear in terms of what happens if the head is 60 years and should retire. There are, however, mechanisms to extend his service, and part of that extension is that Parliament must approve a further period if he continues in that position. So I want to know whether Parliament receives as such an recommendation or application to extend his service. If not, why not? And what is being done about it? Because I am also sure that it must feel uneasy for General Labia to be in a position which legally is actually not entitled to be in. The second one is, Chairperson, it comes to the legal services. I want to know, in terms of auditing, does SAPS have track of all court cases against the police services? And if not, why not? And do we know exactly what it costs SAPS? And I know that the Department of Justice deals with these matters by the state attorney, but do we have record of each and every case against SAPS, which in the end, I understand, must be paid by SAPS? And do we have proper control on that? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald. Indeed, I received a letter on from the speaker on about the off term of office of the DPCI head. I sent the letter to the minister. I sent the letter to the minister requesting that the matter be resolved. I have yet to receive a response in writing, a formal response. I'll remind Nicolette, can we remind the minister that his response is still outstanding? And Deputy Minister, could you also please remind the minister? I'll call the minister. But indeed, his response is long overdue. The next question would be from Honorable Tablanche.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. I commended the police already for the progress that they made to, you know, sort of improve the situation. And, you know, there are significant, you know, improvements in different environments, and I especially want to refer to supply chain management. I think they are getting their ducks in a row. Chairperson, the department received an unqualified audit with three matters of emphasis. You know, this is now the first unqualified audit in 5 years. Chairperson, the issues that are still very worrying, and that is obviously the areas that were sort of emphasized by the Auditor General. And the first is the pending lawsuits against the police, something to the tune of 8.24 billion. And I just want, you know, to know, well, do they intend to address that issue? You already, Chairperson, touched on the underspending. And yes, I'm also very concerned that we are going to see a major underspending this year again. And then we are saying that we don't have a budget to jack up policing in general. And, you know, that is especially in the visible policing environment and the detective services. Chairperson, and then the last thing there is the irregular expenditure to the tune of 3.475 billion is under assessment. That is really, really a serious matter of concern. Chairperson, I want a bit of clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Blanche. Honorable Whitfield, is this an old hand or an old new hand?
Chair, it's a young old hand. Thank you.
Oh yes, very young. But I don't think you can compete with your son. Honorable Whitfield, did you hear? You can't repeat. Don't laugh at me. You have a very beautiful son, Honorable Whitfield. My compliments to his mother, not to you. Honorable Whitfield, I'm teasing you today. Honorable Deputy Minister and General Fatole and your team, you may respond now.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will allow the National Commissioner to and the team to respond to the questions, if you may allow, Chair. National Commissioner.
Agreed.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And again, thanking the honorable members for the questions and the guidance received therefrom. Chair, I'm only gonna take two out of these. The rest of the team is gonna respond, because most of the questions are centered around HR and finance. I think the first one, Chair, I wanted to take is the one of Regulation 12, dismissals, the Free State, and like a more detailed response shall be given by HR. All what I wanted to indicate is that we have established a conduct committee which looks into all the disciplinary matters, including suspensions, review and alignment and transfers emanating from disciplinary processes. So this committee is the one that oversees all the 9 provinces. It is going to be assigned with the responsibility of providing a report to us with regard to what exactly is happening at Free State, and zoom deeper into both the Regulation 12 and Regulation 9 dismissals which are there. We've also seen several of these in the media where members are complaining, but there's others that are coming from the DEFO administration. So, but the HR at the same time is going to coordinate this particular process. Then, Chair, with regard to recusal, when a member asks for the recusal of a presiding officer, that is done within the framework of the law. We just make sure that it doesn't become a personal matter or a matter where the member feels that the presiding officer might not be fair, but such a process happens within the framework of the law and it's getting evaluated. If, say, for instance, the presiding officer refused to recuse himself, and according to the relevant law, there is a conflict of interest and should have recused himself, this provision for dealing with the matter within and beyond such a trial process. So the conduct committee that I've referred to is also among others looking into same matters and make sure that the trial process is handled fairly and squarely and no one is disadvantaged. But the discipline in the organization must still be maintained. Thank you very much. With your permission, I can then hand over to Lieutenant General Huma and her team to respond to the other questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Huma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe if I can just explain in addition to what the National Commissioner has responded to, in terms of the Regulation 12, Regulation 12 deals with the normal processes of discipline where, based on the categorized type of offenses that are committed as a misconduct are explained and tabled, it requires the normal process when witnesses can be called, et cetera, et cetera. However, Regulation 9 deals with an expeditious process. The expeditious process, equally, the serious cases are explained in terms of the different sub-regulations that follows thereafter in terms of those numbers that have been articulated. So that is an expeditious process that is normally not a normal process where witnesses are not called. However, the final outcome of dismissals from both regulations is dealt with in the same way and the same process. With regard to the vetting of the supply chain officials, we can still provide the detailed information in terms of how many, but all the majority of supply chain practitioners are vetted at a level of top secret. We are equally dependent, obviously, on the capacity of crime intelligence, but it's a continuous process. As and when we receive new members of supply chain, they get vetted in terms of at the level of top secret. The issue with regards to legal services, we have Major General Lesesa who can elaborate on it, and also the matter regarding the integrated systems. We have Lieutenant General from PMS, General Chungelani, who can respond on it. And the irregular expenditure in terms of elaboration, General Reed can elaborate. With your permission, Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much. Next.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Honourable Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, DNC, all the leaders on the call, and all protocol observed. From the SEPS TMS team regarding the ACES system, what we are currently doing now, we are doing enterprise architecture of existing systems where we're doing an Enterprise Architecture Standstill report that will form part of our IS and ICT strategy. From there, we will understand what is the current view as is of network infrastructure and application infrastructure, data infrastructure, and also the security architecture as things stand. And then next week, all the major generals and also the provincial heads, together with their support team members, we will then map out what needs to be integrated in the application architecture going forward, and what is relevant, and also what systems and applications are responding to the current business requirements, and also which ones need to be managed out. Yesterday, we sat with the risk and the integration committee, where they're going to be doing a risk assessment on how all the systems and applications and services were obtained. After the end-to-end risk assessment, the outcomes will inform what will remain and what will be also responding to business requirements, having spoken to the business units who will need to guide the functionalities that are required and the type of technology enablement that is required for their environments without being associated with brands or with being associated with typical type of service providers. And then a process will be in conjunction with legal services, supply chain management, and finance will be taken to go forward in our new IS and ICT strategy to ensure that integration of the applications that would have passed those assessments will continue in an integrated manner. But integration and interoperability sits high on our priority list in the new IS and ICT strategy, because when we have integrated systems that have interoperability and when we have the data policy that's finalized and signed off, it will help us to get richer data for quicker decision making and also for preferable policies within SEPs to help us to prevent crime and also help us to detect after the fact. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any further responses?
Thank you, Chair. May I proceed?
Yes, General Reed.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will respond to the question about the irregular expenditure. Yes, indeed. What was observed by Honorable Blanche with regard to the 3.175 billion, it was the finding that came from the AG finding the previous financial year. Chairperson, I can just say this, the irregular expenditure was a sticky issue in the organization, of which in various environment of the organization, there was a lack of understanding how do you deal with irregular expenditure, despite the fact the Treasury eventually issued some guidelines with regard to that. But I can just indicate, Chairperson, in terms of the previous guidelines, Treasury didn't indicate as to what is the time frame for assessment of this irregular expenditure. But now this particular guideline, new guidelines, has actually tightened the period of assessment to the period of 30 days to indicate as to whether there's irregular expenditure or not. And thereafter, this many matters must be put in place if there was any irregular expenditure. Now, we also went further on, Chairperson, in our APP is the first time that we're also going to have this particular measurement where we say about 70% of irregular expenditure must be decreased for this financial year. So, Chairperson, I can just also indicate that this particular 3.75 billion is not as it is at the stage. It's just unfortunate, I don't have the figures now. But we did make some various intervention after the AG findings, where we actually sent some teams from my office to the various offices of cost centers in the provinces, where we actually assisted the provinces and the stations to actually do this assessment. And most of the assessment came out clear to say that this was not irregular expenditure, but other assessment where there was a determination made, we actually referred it to for disciplinary cases. so that eventually we submit to Treasury. But I can just indicate this particular 3.75 billion, it was all cases as indicated by Mr. Blanche, is 100% correct. And these cases was all matters which was relating to the blue light saga that is currently now in the court, where senior managers were also arrested. Issues like the marking of vehicles, but most of those members eventually are being dismissed. So with your permission, Chair, if there's a need for me to submit as to what is the current value, then I'll have to be given a chance actually to make a written submission regarding that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, General. I do not see any further responses.
Apologies, Chair. Apologies.
General, General Levia wanted to make a comment earlier on, and I didn't realize that. I just noted now, if we may allow him to comment, Chair.
Yes, and someone used Eleanor's iPhone.
That's correct, Chair, just on behalf of the legal services question, but I'll come in after General Levia. Thank you, Chair.
No, you can speak now. I'm the Chair, and then Levia.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Committee Members, National Commissioner and Deputy National Commissioners in this forum or protocol observed. Chairperson, with regards to the question of Honourable Frenewald, whether the SAP has track of all court cases against it, yes, we do have records of all the cases against us, Chairperson. And then whether we know of the cost or whether we've got proper control on the cost paid by the state attorneys. Chairperson, we do have it's correct what the Honourable Member has indicated, that the cost orders are paid by the Department of Justice, specifically the state attorney's offices, and then we have the records thereof on the reimbursement between departments on the cost paid by it. Then with regard to the question on pending claims, the contingent liability and how we are, if we have any strategies in place to address it, we are aware of the growing number of court cases being instituted against the department. We have put in place, besides the Integrated Resource Management Committee that deals with additional capacity, we have also have a specific task team on how to address the claims being instituted against the departments with specific focus on conduct of members and then on recoverability on possible payments that are being made and consequence management to address those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. General Labia, is it about the cases or your own situation?
Good morning, Honourable Minister, Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister. It is about the comment that was made by the Supply Chain General Vic. I will not comment about my situation.
Thank you very much, because we are managing your situation. You can comment on the others.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. There was a question that was raised regarding the investigation of supply chain. The National Commissioner have responded, but during the response by General Rich, he have indicated that maybe there might be comment from the DPCI with regard to some of the investigation that we might be conducting. Indeed, I can indicate that there is an investigation that we are conducting, but as you'll understand, it is in-house. We are not always discussing.
Chairperson, point of order, please.
Sorry?
Chairperson, General Labia disappears. We can't hear what he says.
Yes, I was just going to come in to find out is it his or if it's a problem on my side. General Labia, it seems to be sound problems on your side.
Let me shift and change position, Honourable Chairperson, and see if maybe in other position it might be better. Am I audible, Chairperson?
Much better, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I was saying that the National Commissioner have answered the questions regarding the issue of supply chain, the investigation, the arrest that has been done. During the additional response by General Reed, he have indicated that maybe the DPCI might comment on the investigation that we might be dealing with. I needed to confirm that there is investigation that the DPCI is conducting on the PPE issues. We are not discussing it internally as it would be understood that it involves some of the personnel at head office. So far, the investigation, we have obtained 87 statements, and the indication is that we are left with 3 statements to conclude the investigation. And then there is some difficulties with some of the remaining witnesses, but the understanding is that we might even have to approach them in terms of warning statements instead of been witnesses. But that is where I can say, Honorable Chairperson, that we are conducting, it is in an advanced stage, and then we will be guided by the, after the 3 statements have been obtained as to what the prosecutors are saying. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Just a number of matters which I wanted to raise. I'm not going to take another round of questions. I don't see more hands. General Labia, you may mute your gadget. Honorable Shembeni, I'm not going to take another round of questions. Members are leaving one by one, so I'm not going to take another round of questions. I'm going to be sitting without a quorum soon. I've given you 2 rounds of questions. Then the next is that Honorable Deputy Minister and National Commissioner, before I give you an opportunity and before I do the closing remarks. There's a number of areas that I still don't seem to have a satisfactory response to, and I don't want a response today because I'm tired of responses, but I don't see progress. I would like to see progress. I'd like to see progress, and I'm not asking for responses. I'm looking for progress. I'm looking for progress on crime intelligence in terms of the budget that was rolled over. But it seems as if that same budget will be underspent. I'm looking for progress on the appointment of members in crime intelligence and the vacancies which exist there. I have no progress on the appointment of the head of crime intelligence and the resolution of all the problems they have had with their previous heads and all kinds of shenanigans that they have had with crime intelligence. I am also concerned that the movement of legislation is extremely slow. If we do not have regulations and amendments to key acts, we'll continue having irregular expenditure. And most of the observation and the comments I'd like to make is that most of the root causes for audit findings relate to a lack of review and monitoring of internal controls in respect to procurement prescripts. This, I would like to say, calls into question the effectiveness of the SAPS management structure. Do we have a consequence management approach? Are managers that underperform disciplined? The SAPS is the largest government department in terms of personnel. Every level of management and quality assurance must be effective. If one level fails to monitor and review internal controls, the members are not held accountable for their actions. If management as a whole fails, ultimately policing will fail. Our new member has been extremely vocal today in saying that our image and our reputation does not look very good. Communities have lost confidence in SAPS, and what you have with Operation Dudula is actually a manifestation of the fact that we are losing control of what communities expect and what it is we are doing. We may say that I'm not saying Operation Dudula, but there's a number of vigilante groups which are springing up all over the country. This again doesn't augur well for SAPS. When you say the largest government department in terms of appointment of personnel, you have stated again on another point the number of detailed audit findings. I would like to again relook at all these steps and all these reports you have given us. My observation is that I need standardized minutes for the bid committees. The availability of these minutes is essential for accountability and transparency. It is a requirement set by National Treasury and must be made publicly available. We spoke at length about lifestyle audits today. Babawa, I hope you are capturing this today. We spoke at length about supply chain management, lifestyle audits, but I also want to see a situation where we have lifestyle audits of all generals and all senior staff members. I do not get a fair understanding that these lifestyle audits are up to date. I would like to know, I'm not looking at your contracts and the awarding of contracts, but what is the number of bids and the value thereof that were awarded to any government employee, not just from SAPS? Are they members of any government, other government departments who have been awarded contracts and tenders? As you have said today, your slide 26 says that the 2021-2022 interim audit revealed persistent repeat findings and new emerging findings. What led to these new findings? When When will the development of this annual performance monitoring system be completed, and when will it be fully implemented? This APM, I'd like to know, is this very same CETA again involved in implementing this system? Because I am really, really not having any confidence, as we have all said over and over again. Furthermore, I am not going to allow Deputy Minister and National Commissioner and all our Deputy National Commissioners to come to this committee and lay the blame and at the door or the foot of CETA and Public Works. It has to come to an end. If it doesn't come to an end, this committee would have failed in its oversight role. We are speaking about the same thing for almost 3 years. We are sounding, as I'm saying, I'm not asking questions. I'm making observations. I don't want responses. I want action. I'm tired of responses. And you come, you speak, we bring CETA, we get the same problem. A week later, we're sitting with the same problem. Now, what kind of oversight role do we have if we repeat the same problems every week? There's a number of questions asked by the committee, which are already beginning to sound so familiar. And it's ridiculous. It means that this committee is not being taken seriously, and we will certainly not accept this as a committee. Deputy Minister, I'm not laying this at your door. I would like to acknowledge the role you have been playing in assisting this committee to do its work. And you have been really, really remarkable in all the work you have been doing and the support you have been given to the committee, and particularly the support you have been given to the WIP and the chair. We acknowledge that. So Deputy Minister, this is not an indictment on you, but again, it is because we want a better SAPS. We want to serve our communities. And right now, we are not presenting ourselves as a very good department. DM, would you like to say something, or could I close the meeting?
No, thanks, Chair. I think you have made appropriate observations, and we should be guided by that. I think you have made appropriate observations, and we should all agree that our intention is to serve our people. We need progress. We can't engage in a foxtrot. I think some of the things we must draw a line and say this, but no further. But thanks very much, and thanks for the team and members of the committee for the engagement. We are indebted to you, Chair, and the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. I'd like to acknowledge your presentation and the responses from the team. Team SAPS, DM, as I thank the team, I would want you all and all our members to note that we are having fewer and fewer complaints by the members that their questions have not been responded to. That's a very, very good sign. So SAPS, keep up the good work. DM, please convey that message to the minister. Normally after each meeting, I have 40 different questions which have not been responded to. And I'm not exaggerating, because those questions come to me. Just as that is just a matter of some housekeeping. The draft oversight report is ready, and once I've scrutinized it, it will be circulated to members. As I said, My apologies. We had a very good oversight visit last weekend, and again, my gratitude to all the members and our staff. Our glitches we will correct. During the oversight visit of the weekend, I had indicated that we will arrange another oversight visit for the end of March. Unfortunately, I have a commitment which I cannot avoid, and that I at the compulsory meeting which I have to attend. And then the next oversight date is the 19th to the 22nd of April. This is the time we have the budget hearings, but I will certainly prioritize and find a date and an application for the oversight visit to Free State, as we had agreed, Honorable Shembeni. So Honorable Shembeni, all those questions you have raised about Free State, they have now been escalated to being top priority on our list. And please be assured of the fact that I'll leave no stone unturned to address those complaints you have raised with me. Honorable members, that gives us, and thank you very much for having been present for the entire session. We have managed to work with the different challenges that we've had. Thank you very much to the WIP, Honorable Siabe. We are finalizing the program for our stress plan, and we'll give you an indication of the flow of the program for the stress plan, which will be the first, second, and the 2nd of April. We'll communicate with you on this, and the arrangements will be communicated to you timelessly. We apologize that with the kind of weaknesses we had with the last oversight visit once more. Colleagues, National Commissioner, Deputy Minister, Generals, thank you for your presence. Members of the public, stakeholders, those who are, who have listened to the meeting, thank you very much for today's meeting. I hope that you have all benefited from the session. Thank you very much. The meeting is now closed.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.